The Aldis podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the US and Europe. Today, you are listening to our ServiceNow series, where we interview the best and brightest of the industry to share their story, advice, and views on the exciting world of ServiceNow and digital transformation.
Hello, everybody. It's Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer and co-founder of Aldis. Welcome to the Aldis ServiceNow series. I'm very, very happy to welcome. We have Chris Nanda on the podcast today, and I've had the pleasure of chatting with Chris before this session, just as a prep call, and I'm so happy to be sharing his insights and his guidance on the episode today. Chris is going to talk a little bit more about his background and work that he's done, but in terms of formal titles go, Chris Nanda, and he's Manager of Technology at Veteran Enhanced Technology. Chris, thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's great to be here. I love the podcast and everyone that you've had on so far.
Thank you very much for the kind words, Chris. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how did you get into the world of ServiceNow?
I've been in software engineering for about 20 years now, and it's interesting because I actually got into ServiceNow as a fluke. After joining the military, I was on my way out. I was looking for some work afterwards. I got a phone call from a gentleman asking me if I wanted a job as a JavaScript developer. I laughed at him. This was in 2009, 2010. And JavaScript was still the new language. You really didn't hear people who were JavaScript developers. And so talking to him and getting deeper into what he was looking for, it was working on ServiceNow. And I just dove in head first. And after that, it's 14 years later.
It's crazy how time just completely flies. And you've worked in a variety of different roles within this ecosystem. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. So I started off doing implementation, your standard technical consultant role, architecture. But I always approached it in an engineering fashion just because software is software to me. So I've done implementations as a technical consultant, worked as an architect, worked as a business owner, started my own consulting company, also somewhat by accident. I just started getting too much work for myself, and I'm like, I guess I need to hire someone. And eventually I partnered with someone else. We became Cerner Solutions, which became part of Third Era and was just absorbed by Cognizant. After I left Cerner, though, I decided to part ways just because I was looking more for a product type to build versus services. And I actually took on a job at ServiceNow, and I was there for about 5 years. Three primary roles. One of them was as a technical alliance architect, where I helped external ISVs, vendors, things like that, build out their integrations. Moved into core platform engineering, where I had the opportunity to build some amazing solutions into the platform, most of which many people don't understand even today. So I'm actually building my own podcast around those solutions. And then finally, I was tapped and asked to be part of the customer success organization as it was starting up under John Donahoe. And that was an amazing experience, just being called and said, hey, Chris, we'd like you to be a part of this. And it was one of two technical roles in customer success, now the impact team. We did some amazing things. After about a year, they decided to restructure a little bit. And so I moved back into engineering. And then in 2020, I decided to go out on my own again. I missed the full life cycle of development. One of the things that ServiceNow has grown, they're a little bit past where you can have multiple roles within the organization. You do something that's fairly specific. I like working with customers, doing requirements gathering, software development, testing, everything through the life cycle. And then I found vets and the owners and my views aligned on the ecosystem and on implementation, specifically around customer success. And here we are.
ServiceNow is such an interesting ecosystem that you can join ServiceNow, go out to the wilderness, go out to the eco partner, end user, come back into ServiceNow, and it's open arms. I can't think of any other ecosystem that is like that. It is truly incredible. And you're getting so many different perspectives. You're walking in different people's shoes, and it's a fantastic foundation. Really, really good. And I love that. And then your current role as a manager of technology at Veteran Enhanced Technology, tell us a bit more about your company, what you guys do, your niche.
Realistically, I lead the technical resources at Vets. all of our architects and TCs roll up under me, and I partner with our service delivery director. So I don't run service delivery, but he is a partner to me, and we assist each other. One of the things that we aim for here is that technical roles roll up to a technical person, just to make sure that you have a little bit less disconnect between people. I also support our sales organization for pre-sales. So I can tap an architect and say, hey, we need you to come over here and do some scoping. And then the nice thing is they have their stake in it when that scoping goes out and if we get that particular contract, because they helped put it together. So they know that they might get that. So it gives them a little incentive to help ensure that scope is correct.
So you've seen a few different sides of the fence. Customization versus configuration. What's your take?
I think it's extremely important, but I also think that in some ways it is misunderstood. ServiceNow is a platform at heart. When it first started out, it actually didn't even have any applications. Fred Levy tried to sell ServiceNow as a platform to build on, and it didn't really take hold at that time. People wanted a product. Now people want the platform. And with ServiceNow across the enterprise, customization versus configuration is more important than ever because we want to ensure that we can maintain our platform. We can ensure that we're going to be upgradable long term. But at the same time, we don't want to be scared of again, it's a platform for you to build on. And if you can't implement your processes, then what's the point of the platform? It has to support your business. And realistically, there's some key aspects to customization that come into play. Number one, again, don't be scared of it. Number two, demand management. Whether you use ServiceNow's built-in module for demand management or some paper process or something else, the key goal here is understanding what you're changing, why you're changing it, and the risk that's involved in changing it, then accepting or denying that risk. Having a change approval board, essentially, most companies don't actually call it that for demand management, but essentially a change board, being able to say, yes, we accept this risk or no, we don't, and then documenting that. So that way, when you come back to those decisions and say, hey, we're having this issue down 5 years down the road, why did we make this decision? Ah, yes, okay, it's because of this, and continue to support your business. Those are some of the key things around that. And again, the goal here is to ensure that you can upgrade in a timely manner. Also, the faster you upgrade, the more often you upgrade, the better position you're going to be in with that. And also be able to maintain that code, because also a lot of customers these days do not have HTML and JavaScript developers or people who can do heavy scripting and things like that. And so taking advantage of the tooling that's in front of you, I actually just ran into this 2 days ago, which was I had a problem in front of me that I could go through and build out in a script. But the first thing I wanted to do was say, hey, can I do this in a flow or in some way that's going to be a little bit more maintainable for the customer? In that circumstance, it actually ended up not being, but taking that as looking at all the options.
Great advice. And you're saying, listen, you're going to make this decision. You need to be an adult about it. You need to own it. You need to have your eyes wide open. You can keep going to the local swimming pool, but if you're going to go and build a swimming pool in your backyard, you're going to have to maintain that pool. And with what comes, you may not know. So there's quite a bit in there and a lot of insights in it in terms of, you know, what do you really need? Do you really need to go on this journey, or can you just stick with what the tools are and be cognizant that if they work and you can fit them around you, then that's a really good place to be. From a team dynamic perspective, and you've worked with so many different types of teams, big and small, and that diversity, teamwork, implementations, we know when they go wrong, they can be really expensive to fix and time consuming. But when they go right, they gel and you've got that kind of flow. What have you learned from that?
The team that is involved in implementing or working on a ServiceNow project, whether it's a new implementation or a new project on an existing implementation, is going to be somewhat dynamic based off of the needs of the customer and the needs of the project. You want someone who's technical, which is a known known, but you also need someone who's process efficient. Now, oftentimes a technical consultant can fall into both of these roles because they've just gotten used to it. Oftentimes logic assists with process and things like that. But when you're trying to expand a team and scale it, you need to make sure that you've got each of those roles. And the reason everything gels together, as you mentioned, is communication. Communication is key. And we live in a different world right now. Almost everyone's distributed. I've worked remotely for almost 14, 15, actually more than that now, years. And being able to communicate efficiently while remote, whereas in a software engineering team, oftentimes I would just stand up, knock on someone's cubicle and say, hey, I need this from you. Having a team that is across time zones, as well as across countries, being able to communicate efficiently is key. And you can't use the same tools that we had before. A stand-up, let's say, at 9 a.m. when I walk in Central Time is going to be 7 a.m. on the Pacific Time. Ultimately, we need to make sure that we've got systems in place to communicate progressively in that way. There's many ways to do it. I use spreadsheets sometimes and other things. There's great tools out there, Asana and things like that, where you can actually help with your communication and task management. And this is outside of stories and things like that and the actual project itself. When it comes down to stories, stakeholder involvement is absolutely key. So communications leads straight into stakeholder involvement. And the thing about that is those same people need to be able to communicate with the stakeholders. I've often had times where a project, in order to streamline communications, we've tried to have things go through one person. And oftentimes that might work, but the telephone game gets a little bit difficult. And having a team that is able to communicate internally and communicate externally is going to be absolutely key. And then when it comes down to it, your technical team gets broken out, I'm leaving this to last, to a couple of different things. You've got an architect. This is a changing role in the ServiceNow ecosystem. I would say ServiceNow has almost redefined the role of architect. Most organizations, you'll find, deem an architect as the next level of a technical consultant or developer. It's just a natural progression up the ladder. Personally, I don't see it that way, but we have to function in that way. An architect to me has a very different role in an implementation. The key thing about an architect is looking at everything holistically and ensuring that your platform is stable, ensuring that the solutions that the TCs are coming up with to implement is not going to impact outside of that project, is not going to have issues down the line, some of those customization versus configuration points. A technical consultant, whether junior, mid-level, senior level, a senior level TC oftentimes has just as much implementation experience, if not sometimes more, as an architect. They just have a different focus. And so understanding these roles and saying, hey, I need a senior TC on this because I need someone who's going to be hands-on keyboard to develop this solution is going to be a better understanding than saying, hey, I need all of your senior architects. Everyone on my project needs to be a senior architect. Those architects sometimes aren't supposed to be hands-on keyboard all the time. They're not supposed to be developing those solutions. They've got a different focus, and they may not actually be as good at doing that. If you've got a senior TC who's been doing CSM for 7 years versus an architect who understands CSM, ITSM, how they merge together and how everything goes together, that senior level TC on CSM is probably going to have a better knowledge on that than the architect.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
Loads of advice, of advice there. Even from this basic of the time zones, you're getting up at a different time. Somebody could be halfway through their day. And so trying to catch them in the context of their flow and then working through who's leading that project, who's actually taking control of certain aspects, what are you accountable for, and making sure that you are using the right tools that are fit for purpose at that moment in time. And then just constantly reevaluating to say, is this serving what we need to serve at this moment in time? Are you playing the role you need to play? And are we giving maximum impact either internally to our customers or externally to our customers? And it's a really nice play to ask my next question is, you've implemented so many successful ServiceNow projects and you've worked in ServiceNow and you've seen what that other part of the ecosystem looks like. What are some of the success steps that you need to be cognizant for to really get these projects over the line, rather than just do a statement of work to somebody? They actually reap the value for the work that's being done.
You touched on one. The SOW is going to be key because you have to start somewhere. I will say that 8 out of 10 SOWs probably are extremely underrated. They don't have enough content in them. And that there's reasons for that. You have legal and all of that. So I understand it. But realistically, when you walk into a project, having a good SOW or a good mission statement for the project is going to be the number one goal. From there, identifying and working with your client, whether you're an admin working at a client, you're working with teams internally, or you're a consulting organization working with a client, you need access. And so identifying exactly what is the overarching goal, because oftentimes we'll get lost in the weeds. If a technical team jumps into things and doesn't see the forest for the trees, you're going to have issues down the line, because then they're going to be so head down and focused, they're not going to be building to what the client actually needs. Which brings me to client involvement. ServiceNow is not you can do waterfall development, so everyone's going to think I'm going towards agile. Honestly, ServiceNow doesn't even do agile. They suggest a hybrid agile approach. But the key thing is is that ServiceNow is not designed where you tell me what you need, I'm going to go build it, and then 6 months bring it back to you and say, here you go, here it is. That's not the goal. The goal is to have stakeholder involvement that they can see it ongoing. However you do that, it doesn't have to be a rigidized format. It could be ad hoc meetings. Actually, I found that those ad hoc meetings can be the best. Saying, hey, Tom, do you have time to meet with me today to go through what we've built out for case management up till now? And the nice thing about it with ServiceNow, oftentimes that will become a working session, enabling you to get even more close detail for that implementation, ensuring that Tom is saying, yeah, I need that. Oh, that sounds great, et cetera, et cetera. After that, having a good structure of understanding testing. This is actually somewhere that I've seen that ServiceNow implementations go wrong so many times. Everyone talks about testing at the beginning of a project. We need to test. What are we going to use to test? We need the unit test, integration test, all of these things. But then as we're going along and we're not making as much progress as someone might want to see, or someone might expect to see, because people are trying to set up tests and things like that, it falls by the wayside a lot for velocity. And so ensuring that you have an internal, if you're a consulting organization, having an internal QA process, whether that's your BA who's going to step in and say, okay, I'll test what you just did. Yeah, it looks okay. No, it doesn't. Or if you've got an external team or an external process, ensuring that those things are tested by and black box tested by someone who doesn't really understand the solution is going to be key. Because then once you go into UAT, for some reason, because it does happen a lot, you didn't get that stakeholder involvement, you're probably going to have a very formalized UAT process. The nice thing about that is UAT then is geared towards the business and understanding, does this meet the business's needs versus, hey, this thing doesn't work. Because too often UAT ends up becoming a catch-all for testing, and that's not what it's designed to be. And then finally, post-go-live support is crucial. We put it into every single one of our contracts, because we're not going to just walk out the door after we've gone live. We want to ensure that whatever the project is, that we can update it after the fact. Because again, ServiceNow is not geared towards we implement and then you leave it that way for 20 years and you're never going to touch it, which there's a lot of systems out there that's exactly what they were. ServiceNow is designed to be an iterative process. And so through that, we go live, we look at how it's functioning for the business, we identify key gaps, we bring that back in through, again, our demand management process, whatever that is, and then implement those solutions in order for us to have an ongoing support of that business.
Chris, so much words of wisdom there. Ad hoc meeting, so much common sense in that, because people can be fixated with the agile Kanban principles of work, but can I have the 5 minutes of your time, or you've got a freed up slot today, would you have a moment? And you're just getting that insider knowledge, getting the thoughts. And that could be worth 10 previous meetings. What you get from that, And then you build on it, you've got your insights, and you're talking the same language. And it just saves so much time and energy. And you move away from really rock solid, rigid structure that does not allow you to have a good forming relationship. So again, if anybody has listened to this, is where in the podcast need to rewind this, listen again, because there's so many good steps to go through. And then, as you said, the post support, you're up, you're live, ready to go. That's where it becomes real. People are going, okay, I now need to, I'm flying by myself here. I need to figure this out. And then you're there supporting them and coaching them through. And that's when the real learning starts, right? This is because you've got, it's in there, it's in production. This is where things shift and move and you got drift. And yeah, it's such an important point to make. Chris, my final question to you, if you were going to start back in this journey again and you were walking in, and at the start of the podcast, you said it was a bit of a fluke, but let's say you're starting on again and you could speak to your older Chris, what advice would you be sharing on this journey?
You mentioned one of them in your previous statement, relationships. Remembering, when I started out, I had no idea that this, realistically, consulting is about relationships. I was a software engineer when I came on into ServiceNow, but consulting and working with other people is all about relationships. And that's one of the things why I focus so heavily on customer success now. If I had to go back and say, Chris, this is what you should be focusing on, it would be identifying what people need when you're working on a project. It's not just about the technical aspects. What do you need and how are we going to solve for that problem? Having the ability to drill into a customer and say, hey, you said you needed this, but why do you need that? What is going on that supports that need? And going deeper and deeper to understand, all right, what is the true problem we need to solve for you? I was great at solving problems, but I wasn't great at solving deep problems. And so understanding that it's about the relationships and not just about the technical aspects. And of course, ServiceNow, especially now, is so broad, focusing somewhere. Finding somewhere in the platform, I ended up falling into it, but integrations are my niche now. I build a lot of them. But ensuring that if I was starting out now on the platform, I would have to tell myself to find a focus somewhere that I'm passionate about, because the platform is so vast that you could be an HR professional. I just had someone who was working with us. He ended up going back to work with the military, but he had a passion for HR, but was learning ServiceNow through the SkillBridge program. And he focused on HRSD, and he actually helped us on a number of implementations for that. Other people love cybersecurity and want to focus on security operations. There's so many different aspects of ServiceNow at this point that you could be a ServiceNow implementer and still technically fall into so many other niches. So having some type of a focus that's meaningful to you, because I'll end with this. Oftentimes, passion trumps talent, simply put. Talent is great. You could be a great engineer. But if you have the passion for the platform, passion for the ecosystem, then you're going to go far.
Brilliant, Chris. Loads of insights. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Mark, and take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.